And a jumper is like a sweatshirt?
Yes.
So like what you're wearing right now?
Not like a hoodie. A jumper not would like a be more like a jumper.
Like a jacket?
No buttons or anything.
Okay. Okay, so it's just a sweatshirt that doesn't have a zipper.
Yep.
Okay, yeah,
fastenings of any kind.
Sure.
Just the two holes, one at top, one at bottom.
Yeah, and for your hands. Yeah. Or there's mittens.
Oh yeah, I guess that would be useful as well. Yes.
I'm reminded of on the Game Changer. Are there any holes in your underwear? Yeah, there's three of them. we skipped last week, and it wasn't intended to be because you were going to visit with your nephew. And it seems like possibly we would have had to skip anyway because of something else.
Oh, we definitely would have had to have skipped. Yeah.
Yeah. So I want to know everything. What happened?
Sure. Okay.
Tell me and the listener, tell us a story. Walk us through it.
Okay. So Friday morning. Well, actually, it all begins Wednesday evening. I'm sat in front of Gladiator 2, and I'm feeling this sort of thing in my chest, like a sort of a, I don't know, it's like a like I could actually hit it. It's like a bruising, underneath the breastbone. South of the breastbone. There we go. Because underneath could meet. Yeah.
Sure.
I was like, okay, I wonder what all that's about. And coupled with the fact that I'm on blood pressure medication, sort of started to think, I'm not so sure I'm loving this. I feel like something happened Thursday night where I was like, all right, let's have a word. Let's have a word with the doctor, because I'm sort of not loving this. And so I the way my particular general practice surgery works is you can fill in a form, and they will assess, you know, a doctor will assess that form and then make a decision from there. And so, you know, sometimes it's come in for a routine appointment. Here's a link to book an appointment, and there you go. Yeah. In this case, they invited me to come in same day. I was working on, I was writing something for an online magazine when I got the message or the call that was like, do you want to come in today and figure out a time? So I figured out a time. I was doing my writing group thing, so I had to very quickly end. And it was like I was trying to get everybody to leave, and it's like I ended up having to pass the Zoom reins to someone else. He's like, I have to go because I have to hotfoot it over to my GP. So I did that and sat with the GP for a bit, and it was a different doctor to the one I'd spoken to before. Fine, did the blood pressure, it's really high, all the stuff, and asked me questions about, you know, what I was feeling in the chest, and did some, you know, got out the stethoscope just like the old days, and had a listen there, and then it was like she said, well, you can sort of go a couple of ways with this. I could pack you off home, and I can't remember with some, like, because what it probably is the chest thing is probably antacid, gastro in nature, and you know, she said, you know, any diet changes or whatever, and I was like, I have been fasting for 40 hours, or I was fasting for 40 hours. And, you know, that's when I sort of noticed it again, was Wednesday night when I'd finished the fast, broken, as you might say, the fast. Mm-hmm. And I think the last time I felt this was also when I'd fasted. Mm-hmm. So we put two and two together there, or potentially two and two together. And so she was like, okay, well, I could pack you off with some stuff for that. Or if you want to, you could go to, I can refer you to go into, I don't know if the right equivalent for you would be urgent care, but, you know, where you can go into the hospital and take a number.
That's urgent
and
care
so if
for
you
us,
want
yeah.
to do that, you know, for reassurance, you can do. And I was like, oh, I don't want to waste people's time if it's nothing. Or she was like, it's not about that. So if you want to do that, that's an option. And it was more like, you know, it's there if you want to.
And I just thought, you know what? Because I was part of my concern was coming to see you. And if there were any issues there, and I was sort of concerned there about the old heart. That was the, mm-hmm. the real concern. Mm-hmm. So I thought, you know what? Yeah, let's go get that reassurance. So took myself off to the hospital and saw a nurse, did the usual things, did an ECG, did blood pressure. And then I got transferred to a same day like assessment place, which is a waiting room surrounded by curtained off, you know, partitioned areas where patients can be examined. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And so I got there about, I don't know, I think I was sat in there about 2:30. And then I was going to get an x-ray. So I had an x-ray done, chest x-ray, and various, I think I had bloods and ECGs and things over the period. I had about 3 ECGs because they weren't happy with one or two of them. I had 3 blood draws because Ooh. They lost 2 of them.
What?
Yeah.
What do you mean they lost them? Like, did they, yeah. they just misplaced them or they've...
So what? They sent them down to the lab and then the lab lost them. And so I had them done again, you know, for the second time because the lab uh-huh. lost them. And, you know, sometimes they tell you things, sometimes they don't, you know, often it's just come in here, do this thing, put yeah. your hand there, do
sure,
that.
Sure, sure.
And you're like, okay. The third time a doctor came in and saw me and says, I can't apologize enough. And I was like, okay, what's this? You know, the lab have lost your things again. Because the second time it happened.
Crazy.
A nurse actually walked my result, walked my like vial down to the lab, and they still managed to lose it. they found it in the end.
Okay,
because the doctor was very like, we are going to launch, and it, like he was, I think, expecting me to be like hitting the. I was like, it's not your fault,
right. Like, it's the lab's fault. You
know. Yeah, exactly. But he's like, you know, we're going to launch a full investigation into this and stuff. And it's like, oh, I mean, cool, cool. That's great if it means other people that, but, you know,
sure.
I just want to go home. Uh-huh. And so I'm having, I saw about 3 doctors at various levels of seniority.
Uh-huh.
And it gets to, well, because my hope was, I'll be in and out, get the x-ray, get the all clear, get back to see my nephew. Mm-hmm. Nephews, mm-hmm. and it gets to 5 p.m., 6 p.m., mm-hmm. And I think all the battery of things they initially wanted me to have are done, and they just wanted to get my BP down, and so they, you know, in the end, ended up getting some more some different meds, and then, you know, every like 30 minutes or hour they'd check my BP, wouldn't be down enough, they'd give me something else. It got to about midnight, 1 o'clock in the morning, when one of the nurses said, you know, do you want to take one of the curtained off areas and have a sleep on the examination table, basically. And I was like, what I want to do is go home. But I mean, it's one of those, like, I could have checked out against medical advice.
Sure.
They didn't tell me that, but other people had. Like, I heard that conversation a couple of times, that people checking out, you know, have to sign a thing to say against the advice of the doctors, you've decided to leave.
Right.
I thought, you know what, I won't do that.
I mean, it's already past the time you can see your nephews anyway.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I was, you know, concerned about the cats and stuff as well. And
sure.
Just, you know, getting sleepy. But yeah, that, you know, managed to get some uneasy sleep, took some more meds, had more blood pressure, and then at whatever it was, 1:30, 2 in the morning, I can't remember the times now, but someone came and got me and moved me to the acute ward, where I, oh God, this was more like, it was more like 4 or 5 in the morning, because I think I was there for a fairly short amount of time, and then the guy with breakfast came around, and that was at 6 in the morning. Mm-hmm. I mean, I rock up there and...
And what did they give you for breakfast?
Cornflakes.
Cornflakes.
I had a few options, various different cereals. And so, I mean, I get there, you know, five-ish or whatever, and there's a guy, like, I already know I'm not going to sleep because there's noises. You know, there's a guy doing all sorts of breathing. Sure. Weird breathing, labor breathing, and other things, and I'm like, oh, yeah, cool. All right, I ain't sleeping, because I'm too stimulated. Basically,
yeah,
it's just, you know, I can't. Oof. I can barely sleep in the sounds of snoring, let alone anyone who seems like they're actively suffering. So, like,
yeah,
That's not about me. But anyway,
when you're here and you're sleeping in the office is soundproofed. It's very nice and quiet in there. Yeah.
But yeah, I get my breakfast, and then I'm just waiting around for hours until a doctor can come round. It's Saturday now. There's fewer doctors, but you know, I'm getting, you know, all sorts of things like assessed and different, take some more meds and BP, and everybody's annoyed that my BP is not going down, or whatever. Not annoyed, but like,
sure, yeah, no, understand,
you know. So all of this is happening whilst, and you know this about me, but for the listener, like, unless I make a mistake, I very closely guard the privacy of other people. Unless it's a misjudgment, I really don't talk about other people. Some other family shit happened whilst this was going on. It was complicated. And so that sort of added a level of difficulty to things. There was no one available to come and see me until the next day. Saturday finally gets to whatever time, and finally see a doctor. I can't remember what time, but it was closer to midday. And it was one of those conversations that you like to have with the doctor, because he kept lowering his voice and telling me facts. we only really worry about the number if there's other extenuating circumstances, you know, because they're looking at this. So blood pressure, as you will know, is measured in two numbers, systolic and diastolic. I don't know if that's the right pronunciation, but the systolic is the one that they care about.
Okay.
I think it's like your blood pressure on the on beat of your heart, and then the off beat of your heart. From what I gathered and read online. And so what they call a hypertensive crisis, I believe, is something over 180. And I was like way into the 200s. And so they kept throwing drugs at it, and it was going down slowly. And they didn't want to leave. They didn't want me to leave until it got under 170.
And even that's really high.
Yeah. Yes. It's above average, and it's still hypertensive, but it's not a crisis.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the danger here, and there is history of this in my family, is stroke. You get into those numbers, and you're knocking on the door of stroke town.
Yeah.
So that's a, you know, concern. That's fun. But the doctor, like, it was one of the, he was the sort of more senior doctor, registrar, I think, and a junior. And they were both great, actually. And so this guy was like, yeah, listen, we only really care about numbers this high, or we only get, I think his words were like, we only get excited about numbers like this if there are other, you know, symptoms. And they'd done chest x-rays. They'd looked at my lungs, no fluid on the lungs, and all, you know, no heart problems, no heart attack, because that was a, you know, like, am I having a heart attack? I remember watching an episode of Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, and one of the main characters, for like days, she'd had this sensation or whatever, and the doctor was like, yeah, you're having a heart attack, and it was over days, you know, and you sort of think, yeah, is that what's happening? And it wasn't. So every, you know, all things are okay. except just the big BP. And he, like, you know, the doctor again was like, all these different things. Like, okay, doc, you know, give me the worst. Am I cutting out coffee and stuff? And he's like, no, like, if you're an Italian and you're drinking several espressos a day, then maybe I'd you know, counsel you to cut down. But like, no, you're fine. And all this other stuff. And he was just like a very human conversation.
Nice.
And throughout most, if not all, of the conversations I'd had with all the doctors, they were all actually pretty decent and human, which was really nice. And like, you know, no one was like, well, you know, there wasn't any of that. Mm-hmm. It was all kind of like, you know, so.
None of my reactions.
Yeah, so it gets later in the day and finally they let me go. And by this point I'd been in the hospital, I think, I don't know if it was 36 hours, but maybe 30. And and they packed me off with meds, more meds. So I didn't enjoy it.
No, I bet you didn't. So have you noticed a difference in your home cuff results from meds you've been taking?
Yeah, they're going down.
Great.
Yeah, and still sort of creeping down.
Man, I feel for you. And when you told me, I mean, I was, of course, you know, worried that you possibly couldn't make it down to the visit and the party and stuff.
Yeah.
But that was also, that was like low stakes. That was like, I was thinking about you a lot and really glad that that wasn't worse than it was. And it was just a unfun experience.
And thank you. And I think I'm, you know, glad I went when I did. And you know, there's a chance here that fasting saved me from having a stroke, because it was the gastro effects of the fasting, the gastrointestinal just slight discomfort or whatever.
Yeah.
That made me go in.
Oh, that's really interesting. Yeah, I was going to ask you if the conclusion that you were talking about with your GP of the fasting made you kind of want to kind of scare you away.
No,
from
no,
fasting.
I'm not. I'm not sort of. And I haven't fasted this week just because I didn't want to, you know, do anything disruptive.
Yeah.
I just want to keep an even keel. But I'm sort of here for the fasting because it's not doing any harm.
No.
Now that I know what it is,
yeah,
and I know that this week I haven't felt it at all. Like it's not there.
Great.
Means that it will just be that, and it's just an effect of that, and you know, if it means an antacid or whatever, it's like fine,
right?
You know, like I'm not worried about that. You know, they were asking me like, what's your pain level? And I was like, 2. You know,
sure.
What I mean? It's there, and that for me was a cause of concern. The amount of pain wasn't a cause for concern, but the fact that I was feeling something was like, oh god, you know. But yeah, having pinpointed that, I'm fine. And so yeah, no, it's not scared me off fasting.
that's cool. So when you sent that, it inspired me to kick into gear on something that we've been kicking around for a long time, and especially lately, of like just getting the info out there, getting what I know down into something that's kind of shareable and enticeable to really kick God mode off and my coaching career off. And at first I just made this one page document that I'll send it to you right now. So you can take a look while I'm telling you about it. So I combined a lot of Karen Hurd's Bean Protocol list with a lot of other learnings that I've come across from like Dr. Pradeep and Dave Asprey and Andrew Huberman and a bunch of different. A wide range of doctors promoting fasting and time-restricted feeding and light therapy and sleep and therapies and spirituality and put it all into a one page document of like, all right, here's the basic bones. Here's what you should kind of aim for. And then as I was doing it, I was putting in like sources for each section of like, this is where I got this information from. I'm not just making this up. This all has a reason for being here.
Yep.
And then would you, for when I started the Bean Protocol, that was really important, is like Karen explained, there's science behind everything I'm telling. Every thing is here for a reason. I'm not telling you cut out cinnamon just for fun. It's inflammatory. Like there's a reason for each thing. Then I, you know, compiled all the sources on the last page, and I'm like, oh, I was calling it a reading list of like, here's the things that you can go read more about. And then I was like, I'm not trying to get you to read all these books. I'm just saying that you have the option to. So I changed it to my source list. And then I was kind of like, I had reduced the margins to as slim around the page as possible. And it's even it's like an A10 or A11 page, or what is it? It's like a giant page. It's not just the normal 8.5 by 11 page. And I still had more I wanted to put in there. So I'm like, okay, I got to make another page. And I realized I hadn't really even said why anybody should follow this yet. So I made a second page that had like a why, a how, and an extra column of where I could actually write out some stuff. I was like, okay, here's how you do it. Here's like how to start and ease into it. Here's some of the benefits of why you're going to want to do this kind of thing. And still working on that section. And then some extra things like how much it costs to do and
yeah, and how long you should do it. Yeah, this is interesting, the soy stuff.
Yeah, soy, in addition to being horrible for the environment, and leading to soil degradation and deforestation and community displacement, it also it's a plant estrogen that your body doesn't need and process well. I don't know the science as well about that, but you know, especially for men, we don't need extra estrogen. It you know, builds up our breast tissue and fat stores and stuff, and it's not really good for us.
Is there an option for protein for people who don't want to eat meat?
Eggs.
Right. Okay.
Eggs.
Just eggs.
Just eggs. Like it's not hurting an animal if you get them from a good source. You're not, it's just an embryo, and it has all of the, it's a complete protein that has everything that you can get that you can't get from plant sources. Mm-hmm. So, okay. Yeah, you can eat peas and, you know, other plants that have, you know, beans and other plants that have protein in them. Yep. And as your main source of protein, that's fine, but also add eggs. Mm-hmm. Because you need the extra
good source of fat,
those building blocks. Yeah, and I'm not looking for like I'm not looking for anything from you about this. Like, you know, I'm really just happy to share this with you. I'm very happy to hear anything that you, any comments you have about it. But I'm not looking for you to like, I need you to get on producer mode and be like,
oh sure,
well you got to do this and you got to do and change this around.
Oh yeah,
if you want to, cool. That's not what I'm looking for. I just wanted to share this with you as like you've kind of mentioned before that you're looking for something like this, or at least were encouraging me to get this stage done. And I'm like, okay, finally did it. You inspired me, brother. Like, yeah, you kicked me into gear.
Wow, I like that. I think it's interesting that you add in the environmental thing, because there's something, you know, the environmental impact of things, because there's something here to me about the sort of the whole connected human and you know, treading lightly and you know, the responsibilities that we may have as human beings to the system, the ecology, and I think that being part of it, I think is really nice.
Yeah, and I'd like to go into that more in the meat section, because I know that, you know, the meat industry is really demonized. Well, the meat industry is demonized accurately because of its methane gas production. But, you know,
And the cruelty.
Oh, and the cruelty, of course. and a side of cruelty. but when meat is raised on a regenerative farm, it is a net positive for the environment. And that's mm-hmm. that's something that's kind of glossed over with people who are like, well, I'm just not going to eat meat. And I was like, well, there's other options there. You don't have mm-hmm. to just write that off. Yeah, and I think that third column of therapy and stuff to do that's not just diet, like, to me, through my experience and what I've seen for some other people, it's like those things all need to happen too in order for this to stick, for this to be something that's sustainable. Sure, you can just change one little diet thing if you wanted to, but with the amount of stuff that I'm suggesting in the first column to abstain from, there's likely going to be a backlash, is probably a strong word, but like a fighting back and a
resistance.
Resistance for sure. Yeah, that's a great word mm-hmm. for it. And the third column kind of, I feel like some of those things can help maybe mitigate that resistance and bring some understanding and context. So that's my hope, at least.
How do you feel about, and I'm asking this question as Mark the Curious rather than Mark the producer. What is your thought around how people begin? Like, are yeah. you all or nothing? Or, gradually, sort of slide into.
Yeah, yeah. I explained that a little bit in the second page of in the how column.
In the how. Yeah.
Yeah, but I'll go over that a little bit. I kind of yes, two are. Sections there kind of describe, like, you can go, a level at a time. You start with just cutting some of these things out that are major poisons and making things worse. And then you can start implementing a little bit of fasting, like prolonging your non-eating period until you get to just a 6-hour feeding window. And then you can start trying a 3-day water fast. And I still need to expand that a little bit more to incorporate the third column on the first page of therapies and other stuff. And then below that, I have like achievement levels where, the first kind of achievement you can unlock more or less in mm-hmm. using gaming terms is like mm-hmm. actually getting on the protocol, actually following the whole thing. It's going to take a while. And so actually getting on it, like, fucking achievement, that's mm-hmm. that's big. And then the second achievement is staying on it for 30 days.
3 months, I think it says achievement.
Or three. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. 3 months. Yeah.
Yeah.
threes. Yeah. Yeah. 3 months. And because mm-hmm. 3 months is the length of mitosis for the cells of your endocrine system. And the two big things that this protocol does, aside from this long list of symptoms that can change from these different changes, from these lifestyle changes, the main things that you're affecting by being on this protocol are the endocrine system and your insulin response. And those two factors can cause so many other downstream effects. The endocrine system, it's your hormone system. It's the communication system in your body. Of you give it an input and it's like, okay, I'm going to do this with the input. So it makes a hormone and sends that through the bloodstream, and the body reacts to that hormone in different ways, protects itself. It causes things to become stored in fat or used for energy, or you get scared by a lion coming at you, you start pumping out epinephrine and norepinephrine and adrenaline, and those are hormones telling your body to fight, flight, or freeze and mm-hmm. move, like protect yourself from a danger and all that kind of stuff. So, and we are bombarded in our society by endocrine disruptors. That last on the first page, bottom of the first column, scented products. Mm. Scented products are a massive endocrine disruptor. As somebody, I've always had a pretty sensitive nose, mm. And now being you know, on this protocol for a couple of years, I mean, my nose is even more sensitive. If I'm around a scented product or if somebody's smoking or things like that, like my body reacts kind of viscerally to it. And I'm like, oh, get that away from me. Because my body can sense that that's not good. And it triggers things and it's like, whoa, no. And ultra processed foods are a huge endocrine disruptor. The processed seed oils, the sugars, the flours, a whole bunch of different things are that just cause the hormone system to fire off inaccurately or become really tired and exhausted because they're overworked. So you know that first column is kind of the primary thing to start with, so you can not be overworking your system and start to bring in some of the other stuff when it's a little bit easier to do. You have more capacity by taking away the disruptors.
This is remarkable.
Well, thank you.
This is the shit right here. And I also like, it's easy to learn, it's hard to do, it's worth the effort.
Yeah, I was thinking about that because we talked a while about something being simple versus easy. And that was in my head when I was writing that part. I struggled for a long time to get started with God Mode because I couldn't figure out the way I wanted to present the image of it, like the color scheme and the title, like the font I wanted to use. That all kind of just got in my way. And then I don't even remember how I picked the font for the God Mode protocol at the top. But I'm like, I'll just put a placeholder here, whatever. I'll just throw a green color on it. Cause I want it to be green. Cause I want it to be like the old school computer type scenario. And then I was like, actually, you know, that kind of looks good. And then I took it to, what if I just use my favorite little glitch website for images? I think it's photomosh.com or something like that. And so I just took a screenshot of the text there on the pages document, took that over to Photomosh, did a couple different things and, you know, scan lines and pixelation, and I'm like, oh, fuck, this looks perfect. This is what I thought about going to, like, a designer friend to help me with. And I'm like, okay, finally, I got it. That barrier is out of my way. Wonderful.
Yeah.
It's good enough. It doesn't, nobody's going to critique the title. this doesn't seem gamery enough or, you know, bullshit like that. Yeah, it's not even about that at all. Like, it's just a fun, not gimmick, but layer to have over the top of it.
So like for me, I just want to put all of this in Notion.
Awesome. Maybe you can help me format it that way. And could it be something shareable? That's a Notion that like,
oh yeah,
somebody could, well, that'd be really interesting.
Oh yeah. And there's some ways to make it sort of semi-interactive. I mean, you know, you can do things like when there's videos, just embed the videos directly into the page and, you know, allow things to be ticked off.
Dang.
Create little databases to help people keep track of the stuff. You know, you could, like, there's all sorts of things that could be done, and just put inside an ocean. Yeah. This is wonderful. This is absolutely wonderful.
Thank you. I'm so glad you think so.
This is the way. Wow.
Yeah, so I'm going to keep working on it for the next, this is just 1 week's worth, and I feel like it's an incredible first draft, but I still have tweaking to do. I feel closer than ever to something that I can start actually putting out. I feel like one thought I've had is, like, I can take a screenshot of just like one headline section at a time, like just ultra-processed foods or just therapy or just cooking, and put that screenshot up on Instagram with a text explanation, and go into more detail, and just like every couple days or whatever, put a new thing out there. And because I've struggled a long time with the Instagram of like, what do I even put out there? And how do I format it? And taking little screenshots of this felt like something that would work really well. And then my thought was that this is going to be the free guide you get for signing up to the newsletter kind of scenario.
Oh, wow. That is an incredibly compelling lead magnet, as they say.
Yeah.
To just make the protocol free, I think, is a baller move, and I'm 100% here for it.
Nice.
Yeah. And for the generosity of it, but there's a good business case behind it.
Great. Great. I mean, you put that idea in my head, and I've liked that. I've held on to that, and I've like that actually sounds really great. And you may have gotten to like the second page where it talks about the anti-capitalistic nature of this document. Like, you can find all this reading list, either you can find all the sources on YouTube or in your library. This guide is free. You don't need it. Like, this is just real food. You don't have to have special, there's no club to join. There's no special foods or meal programs you have to pay for.
And again, this is where the business case comes in, is the knowledge is easy. Like, knowing this stuff. Yeah. I mean, it's not easy. It's taken you a long time to gather all of this information and to synthesize it. So like, absolutely. But digesting that information, no pun intended, is easy. Acting on it.
Yeah.
That's where it gets tricky. And that's where there is absolutely where you get to make some money here by bringing people together and helping them when they're, you know, even just a WhatsApp group or a whatever group.
Yeah, I'm thinking Discord, because that's where the gamers are.
Yeah. Absolutely. To be like, lads, I'm struggling today. Like this, I watched a video yesterday and it was kind of heartbreaking. It was, again, TikTok likes to call lots of things ADHD that I don't think are, I think, which is not, I don't love that trend.
Yeah.
That's very unhelpful, but like, he reckons he's got ADHD. And he's talking about being sober and just how shit it is. And, I can relate in terms of, you know, we've talked about valves, escape valves. And maybe that wasn't necessarily the term for it at the time, but there is a seeking of a, and we don't have to go into this, but like, just to say, like, there are people that are trying to walk this path and find it difficult and find it lonely. And so the ability for them, or the capacity to, you know, to be able to text a group and just be like, it's a hard one today, or to be like, you know, I walked past the cake shop and I didn't get anything, you know, and everybody gets to say, well done. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think both things are incredibly, useful and you know,
valid. I definitely have like, not everything I have learned is in this document, and I have a lot of hacks that make things easier. And like, you know, walking by the cake shop, a mantra that I've used for many years is, not today, delicious poison. And you know, it's kind of a tweak on the one day at a time kind of thing from AA, and adding a little bit of humor to it, and kind of like gusto, kind of like, ha, I got you this time. being able to do, like, so I mentioned in the document, like, I'm thinking about maybe doing one-on-one coaching, group coaching, and those kind of things could be what people pay me for. And then having like a Discord server that all the different people that are involved can be a part of, and get help from the community, as well as me being on there. And and then you know, with the idea of making it into a Notion, like, that could be a premium that somebody could pay for access somehow, or
you can sell it directly on Notion. I'm investigating that at the moment, now that they've made some changes, so you can basically just sell it directly through Notion.
Dope. That's really great. So cool. I'm excited that there's some options here for for monetization, because that's definitely, I don't like money. Talked about it many times before, but turns out I need it. So
you need it to buy goods and services.
I need it. Yeah.
And also, as a, you know, an interesting video I watched, a couple of things. I've been making people very upset on YouTube by talking about capitalism, which is really funny to me. And defining capitalism, they don't like it because that's not what they think capitalism is. Anyway, there is also a misapprehension. Like, you don't have to be against commerce.
Sure.
Capitalism is a different thing. Capitalism is more in many, in some respects, it's more about labor than it is about money.
Yeah.
Certainly in my understanding anyway, it's about the means of having the stuff versus being the making the stuff versus having the stuff. But commerce, there's nothing like the world needs commerce. The world, you know, commerce has existed for thousands of years, and that's perfectly fine.
Exchanging, using a medium to help with the transaction of barter is not inherent. There's nothing inherently bad about that. No. It's when people hoard and use the labor of others and exploit, exactly. That's where the problem arises.
Absolutely brilliant.
Thank you, mate. Oh, I'm so
very, very exciting.
So pleased to hear you say that. I've been thinking more about my presence as the face of whatever I'm doing here, and I'm becoming more happy with that idea. And part of it is like, because I went off protocol for 8 months or so and reverted back to the person that I didn't like anymore. And
oh, wow.
I was kind of in a very stark, harsh way of saying it.
Sure.
And I've just had a couple reactions from, I think from you, although pretty mildly, from Unique, my health and life coach, from my men's group facilitator, who I have multiple collaborations that we're working on, which are very exciting, including putting on doing men's retreats together, which super excited about that.
Yeah.
And he also wants to, he's interested in partnering with me on the new podcast that I'm building. I'm not going to tell you what to do.
Yes.
I love that name.
Yes.
And some others that have reinforced this, like, what do you mean you wouldn't be a good presentation? It doesn't compute that you wouldn't be a good face for this. Mm-hmm. And that's, helping reverse this lifetime of seeing myself in the mirror and being disgusted with myself. And even though now I can look in the mirror and think I'm really sexy, I still have this deeper feeling of that. Maybe I like how I look, but I'm not somebody who anybody wants to see at all. And that's, less about my physical appearance and more about my being. And it's more about the neglect that I suffered as a child and the abuse that I suffered as a married person. And these factors, these traumas that made me feel not important. So why would anybody listen to me? So maybe I shouldn't be involved in the thing that I want to do completely myself. I'm coming around to it. So with this document existing, from my perspective, from my understanding, these are lifestyle changes that can reverse a lot of different health conditions. And I want to say this in the nicest way.
Okay.
when
it's not going to make me see again. Just I want you to know that.
Yeah, I wasn't. This protocol will not grow an extra limb for you. It will not. bring your teeth back. There's a lot of things that this cannot do. It cannot make you see again. It won't make you grow a third eye, although maybe you could at least find your third eye, but that's beside the point.
Yeah.
But there are things that this can help with.
Yes.
And if a lifestyle change can reverse a health condition, to me, that tells me, maybe other people see it a different way, and I'm open to that. To me, that tells me that a lifestyle is what caused that condition to begin with. Sure, you can be predisposed based on genetics and external factors. Like, I got fibromyalgia because I had whatever predispositions, I had mold in me, I got a virus, and there were multiple factors. I didn't choose it, but it happened to me.
Yes.
And also factors of my lifestyle, what I was eating and consuming, and that all combined to mean that I got chronic pain for a long time. Mm-hmm. So it's not necessarily our fault, but it is our responsibility. And when
I like
when
the words that it's our opportunity to change it.
Yeah, exactly. So when I hear from what your GP is telling you, which is not just what they tell you, but a lot of people, and myself included, over years and years and years, that, oh, there's nothing you need to change in your lifestyle, you can just take this pill. For me, I balk at that. I
know you do.
Cannot abide. That's a me thing because, you know, a pill is a part of capitalism. It's helpful. Like, you need those things right now.
Yeah, I want to make the point here, and because I think it needs to be made, because it's going to scream at me if I don't.
Do it. Make it.
Because we are talking about two vastly different systems, and here in terms of the US and the UK.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Because of because of socialized healthcare.
Sure.
That makes a difference. Now, I'm not naive enough to think that big med. What did they call it? Big pharma. I'm certain Big Pharma has a role to play here in the UK, but doctors are not incentivized to push medication.
That's great.
They are, in a sense, because it gets you out the door quicker.
Yeah.
But they're not incentivized to push it because a pretty rep has come round and plied them with wine. I think there can be elements of that. I mean, any human is corruptible. But I genuinely think doctors, yes, will go for pills often. And weirdly enough, this is the first time where I've known that to be the case in my particular surgery. My particular surgery does not appear to be one that likes to overprescribe. Cool. When I've been with them before for other complaints, certainly, stuff to do with the old noggin, they are very unwilling to automatically prescribe.
That's great.
So I have faith and confidence that they're making the right decision at this point.
Oh, me too. Me too. They're giving you things that are helping. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I also believe that I will see marked changes in all sorts of things by, flushing out the system and by doing these things that are ultimately going to be a lot healthier by, making these radical changes to the diet. So I think both are true.
Yes.
I just think it's really important not to discount the medicine.
I agree.
Here.
I agree.
Both absolutely count.
I agree. And what I failed to say or get across is,
no, I probably interrupted you too early.
No, you didn't. It was perfect. That needs to be said. And I am very guilty of so quickly going to no doctors, no medication, because of my experience, my trauma of decades of bad doctors.
Yes, and you have had decades of bad doctors.
I have. And fuck. And also seeing that in other people and being in the US system and having that lived experience. But I know, like, I can see with you, and I've seen with other people, like, you're getting things that help you now. And that's fantastic. And like, that's keeping you alive and it's getting you to a better state where you can then make changes. And if yes. that is the way yes. that it works, then 100% cosign, that's amazing. My problem then is when somebody's like, oh, I got this pill, it made me better, everything's fine now. And they don't mm-hmm. make any changes because they get the advice that, oh, no, you didn't do anything wrong. And yes, you didn't do anything wrong, but there, I feel
that's
like
not the same
the
as
advice
there isn't
is,
something you can do.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah, yeah. Like you can do something that would be healthier for you that could make you get off of this medication and that could greatly enhance your life. And we don't have that expertise. That's not what we do here at the doctor's office, but you can go find that elsewhere. Here, there's a cool guy named Brendan. He has a protocol for you.
Mm. And I think, you know, if you make your biases, well, you know, if you want to, I think there's nothing wrong in declaring your biases when it comes to if you did want to counsel people about certain things to say, this is my yeah. agenda would be too strong a word, but like, this is my experience. This is what has led me to make these decisions. Not saying that, you know, they're wrong. That these are my decisions that I've made based on, you know, where I'm coming from kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. All right, dude, I got to ask you about, you sent me a photo of you taking a bath. And I have some questions. There were five things that kind of stood out to me of the photo. Okay. You're wearing a necklace.
Yes.
And I was curious what that was about.
Very prosaic reason. What you saw was the, I think I probably sent you a still from the
yeah.
video that I made.
Oh, okay.
The necklace is a microphone.
Ah, of course. Okay, yeah.
Because the microphone I have magnetically yeah. attaches, but yeah. I have nothing to which...
To attach.
It could be attached.
Yeah,
you can so make it a necklace. Because the people who make this set of microphones are very smart, one of the things they provide is a necklace.
Smart. Okay, cool. That makes sense. And then it being a video also makes sense, or it helps me understand, because you probably had like captions going on with
yes.
the video.
Yes.
Because it says,
and I like that particular one because of the text that's on it.
It says, "Stop doing everything." Which,
yeah.
not knowing it was a video and thinking it was just a still.
Yeah, that's why I love it.
I'm like, what does this mean?
Yeah.
Which I like, you know, I'm thinking like, oh, you get into a bath, just stop doing everything. Just take a bath.
Stop doing everything. Like... So I think the line was stop doing everything that isn't, that doesn't contribute to who you are, or something like that.
Nice.
Stop doing everything that doesn't reflect who you are. It was something like that. But
sure.
yeah, I just love the fact that you've got me in the bath with a glass of Bailey's with the text "Stop doing everything." I love it. Yeah, I think it makes me laugh.
Yeah, no, me too.
Yeah.
So okay, Bailey's. that was the
yes.
Another one of the questions is what's in the drink.
Yes.
And
I'm wondering is that I've been contemplating whether I should bring some. Do you know what it is?
Based on the way that you're asking me now, I'm thinking no. I thought it was just like maybe brandy or an alcohol of some sort.
It is an alcohol. It was created by the Irish Milk Board, who had a surplus of milk. And so this is my understanding. And so what they decided to do was put whiskey in it.
Okay.
Make it chocolatey. And so it's a sort of chocolate whiskey drink, and it's off protocol. and it's fucking delicious. It's creamy, and boozy. And yeah, it's real good.
I'd have
And I happen to have some, and it gets drunk around this time of year.
Yeah,
it's
yeah,
a good
yeah.
time for Bailey's.
Yeah. Nice.
This is the strangest thing I've ever done, because the amount of setup that it took for this
mm-hmm.
is insane. And I've had to, I don't usually worry too much about what I delete from iCloud, but I did have to go and make sure, because there are multiple shots of my junk because I had to like start the thing running and then get in and out of the bath. And so like, such as it is, there are definite shots of my little ween there.
Sure.
And I also had to do, I mean, nothing's visible, but I did do some strategic placement of captions.
Nice.
Just because the video is it's me in the bath, and it's in three parts. So there's the part that starts with me in the bath, then it goes into some B-roll, and then the last bit is the last sentence is me in the bath again. And when I did the last sentence, I remembered to pull the foam a little bit closer to me. But when I did the first bit, I hadn't remembered to do that, so it was a little bit further off, and there was just a little bit of bath water with no foam, and I just thought, you know what, I don't want someone subrutering the, you know, trying to zoom and enhance and try and find what's down there in the deep, so I'll just cover it with some big text.
So that answers another one of my questions, which is, who is taking the photo?
Yeah.
So it's a tripod and it's a video. Okay, so that makes sense.
In the sink.
Oh yeah, that was quite the chuckle I got.
It's quite an adventure, eh?
Mm-hmm. I want to tell you about my experience going to Casablanca 2 weeks ago.
Oh, yeah.
This is this will be a short story, but it's, man, it was fun. Man, what a show, Casablanca. Mm. Top in my top five DJs right now, top five shows I've ever been to, like in a smaller club setting. Like the Group Therapy Weekender is its own massive thing, and I kind of can't compare that to anything else. Yeah, but Casablanca, it's a duo, and they don't just DJ, and man, I say just. Like DJing itself is its own amazing creative art form, but they're not playing pre-recorded songs. They are on their synthesizers, dropping loops, using drum pads and creating the whole experience right there in front of you. You know, you're using some pre-assembled bits, of course, but they're doing a lot live.
Mm-hmm.
And they have this aesthetic of kind of this futuristic retro 80s kind of vibe, as kind of like, you know, cassette tapes and low fidelity imagery and stuff, which I, you know, as a child of the 80s, I get a kick out of. And the way that they also have like this kind of big setup on stage for a DJ with, not only light panels behind them, but and their multiple tables where all the synthesizers are, but they have like this big, massive electronic device. Like it's like this wall panel of plugs and cords and patch cables and switches and lights and LEDs and whatever, and both at the back end of their main table and at the front end of their main table, and it has their group logo, the Casablanca logo, embedded in it as well. And so it's obviously this custom unique device that they're using. I think the one in front is just a display, but it looks like the one in back is actually something that he's using to control maybe some lighting or other things. And the lighting, this is really beautiful. This doesn't happen in a lot of DJ sets. A lot of club shows have like pre-programmed automated light patterns. Like they'll circle around, or they'll flash in a certain way or whatever. And it's not to the beat of the song. It's not to a song specifically at all. It just goes, and then it'll change from song to song, but it's not specific. It's not flashing with the beat. It's not immersive. It's just kind of going. And it's like, it's just sensory overload kind of thing. It's like, here's just more. And that's fun. It has a place. But what Casablanca are doing, it's a bit more visualizer-like, where the lights are reacting precisely to the beat and to different frequencies and to everything that's going on. And so there's these moments of pure dark, and then just a little bit of light reacts to that. Da na 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 and then it comes back down, na 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 na. You know, and then, like, when the audio and visual are so perfectly linked like that, it is steps beyond. Like it's so immersive and so like otherworldly. It's magical. And then they also have. They have the big screen behind them that everybody has of, you know, kind of putting on like a music video type vibe in the background. And they have wonderful visuals for that. And it goes along with each song and stuff. And the guy is also singing too. And he's using different vocal, effects for different songs and stuff. So it's live singing and looping that and editing it and stuff live on stage. And that's all super fun and everything. And so this amazing performance, this amazing setup, this wonderful experience, very almost didn't happen. It was the show was delayed by just a magical 30 minutes, which is incredible. But what the singer told us on stage, halfway through the set was like, you know, we were driving through Seattle last night, stayed there, and we're going to drive down this morning to come set up for this. And in the middle of the night, our van was broken into. Every bit of our equipment was stolen.
Shit.
Yeah. And it's like I was just telling you, this is all custom shit.
Yeah.
And you can't just go to Guitar Center. No,
yeah, yeah, that's it, exactly. Yeah, yeah. Richer sounds, you can't just, yeah, yeah.
And he's like, but by the power of AirTags, we were able to track down every piece of equipment. Wow. And get back up here and get the show on for you tonight. And
that's incredible. That also very, that very briefly reminds me of there's a show, so there's a British, oh, do you remember I showed you the quiz show where it was four people, yeah, and they play all sorts of different games?
Right, we love that. Yeah,
yeah. Margaret and I love that guy has a two-hander podcast, and he was talking about when they recorded some stuff somewhere in Europe, I can't remember where, it might even have been Spain, probably wasn't, but fairly regularly all the gear would go missing. It would be quote-unquote stolen.
Dang.
And there would be like a fixer who would be like the local guy who'd be like, listen, you know, I'll figure it out. I'll get it all back for you. And it would all magically appear later in the day, having, you know, there having been a nominal fee paid for his services, essentially. So it's just a big racket.
So yeah, just, sounds yeah. like it. Sounds yeah, like it.
Just a big racket, just a shakedown, basically.
Wow.
And it was just like the production companies just know, yep, I mean, we're insured anyway, so it's like fine, but like part of the course, this is just, it just happens. Price of admission. So that was my first thought where sure, I was like, sure. They got it back that day. But no, it's because of the magic of AirTags.
The magic of AirTags. Yeah, I just thought that was super. I mean, I'm so thankful for AirTags. I'm so thankful for tracking now that they could get all their equipment back, because that was a fantastic show. I don't want them to lose their livelihood.
I bet they because it wouldn't have been those two dudes in a car like chasing down. Like they must have a team of people that you wouldn't mess with. Would be my assumption. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like a couple of. I'm gonna, you know, be gendered here and just say probably a couple of dudes that you with no necks that you just absolutely wouldn't mess. You know, if they found those AirTags, they're getting their stuff back.
Yeah, 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 for sure. For sure.
I love the idea of these couple of, like, I don't, you know, I'm going to assume, like, fairly sort of dweeby, you know, not necessarily, like, jacked DJs.
They're pretty scrawny. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Have you,
can I have my stuff back, please?
with a vocoder on it. Can I have my stuff back, please?
Can I, please?
Have you heard the song Roadie by Tenacious D?
No, I
make the rock go.
Oh, it's so good.
I don't warm to Tenacious D. It's like I get what they're going for, but there's something about them that just makes me roll my eyes.
Sure.
That I'm not here for, and I'd like, it's definitely just me, and I don't, there's something, I don't know, like, but anyway, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm aware of their work.
I fell into Tenacious D hard in like late middle school, early high school, something like that. Mm-hmm. It hit me just the right time for my humor and everything. And the longer it goes on, the less I'm interested in it. But there was the Roadie is a fantastic, fantastic song, and so it's one to check out. Anyway, have you seen the movie A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood?
No,
with Tom Hanks.
No.
About Mr. Rogers. Are you familiar with Mr. Rogers?
No. You see, well, I am, but only in that way that Brits are sometimes familiar with American culture. Like, I know the thing exists.
Right.
So, like, that's why I've not sought the film out, because I don't think it would meet, you know, like, Raising Mr. Banks or whatever it was called.
Right.
That one, you know, because, you know, Disney is a figure that makes sense to us. But yes, not this one.
I propose that the way that you brought Heretic, we might want to talk about this as a convergence, topic.
Convergent Film Club.
Yeah. It's not just, it goes deeper than just Mr. Rogers and like that. Neither Margaret and I were expecting that. We just saw an interview with Tom Hanks talking about it and was like, oh yeah, we missed that one. That seems really interesting. Let's go check it out. And we're just thinking about Tom Hanks and Mr. Rogers as the drives to see it. Mm-hmm. And yeah, there was a lot more to it. And it was pretty great. And I would love to talk to you about that. And I think I'll leave it there.
I saw someone on LinkedIn post something that they'd asked ChatGPT a question. And the question was, or the request...
Are you my mommy?
Was tell me something that will destroy me so much that it will make me start building my personal brand.
Wow.
Bold.
What a question. That's fantastic.
And it was anodyne what it gave me. It was kind of nothing. And it's like, some stuff about, here's a hard truth that might sting, but could ignite something powerful in you. If you don't take control of your narrative, someone else will. And that someone else might be a deafening silence in a world moving faster than ever and blah, blah, blah. And I said, that felt like a bit of a softball. Try thinking about everything you know about me. What is the thing I would hate to hear most? And then it said, your ideas aren't special until you make them real. You have the incredible ability to dream at big, meaningful things, better in various things. And I responded to that, inaction isn't my problem. I act on a lot of my ideas.
Yeah,
follow through and persistence, that's what I most lack. And boy, did it take that and run with it, Brendan.
Oh, boy.
Its response was thus. Got it. Then here's what I think you'd hate to hear most.
I love this so much. Spike me, daddy.
Your inability to persist is teaching people they can't count on you.
Oh, fuck, dude.
You're brilliant at starting. You generate ideas, dive in with passion, and light up with possibility. But when you don't follow through, you risk leaving a trail of unfinished projects and unrealized potential. Over time, people might start to associate your name with inconsistency rather than ingenuity. Imagine someone stumbling across your work, excited by what they see, and thinking, wow, this could be incredible if only it were finished. Imagine clients, collaborators, or your audience silently doubting whether the next thing you start will even last. The ideas you abandon don't just disappear. They become part of your story, and they're not telling the story you want to tell. What if one day someone described you as all ideas, no delivery? Could you live with that?
God damn it. I legit have tears, dude.
Whoa!
Holy fuck.
Woo! That's spicy, isn't it?
Dang. ChatGPT with the hard truths. Well, and as always, correct ChatGPT if it's wrong, because then it'll come back with some fucking fierce, dude.